Welcome to Torah Tzimecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shaiwitz, and today we'll be studying Parshat Balak. Parshat Balak tells the story of Balak, king of Moab, who is intimidated watching the Jewish people's trajectory in their journey into Israel, and specifically their conquest of Sihon at the end of last week's Parsha. Rather though than attacking Bnei Israel, Balak decides that his best option is to circumvent war and instead curse them. So to that end, he sends messengers to Bilam, a sorcerer and a prophet, asking him to curse Bnei Israel. Bilam tells the messenger, stay the night, while he asks Hashem what to do. Hashem's response is emphatic. Don't go curse them. These people, Bnei Israel, are blessed. Balak then sends more honored messengers with promises of great riches. Bilam raises the question with Hashem again. This time Hashem responds, you may go with them, but whatever I command you, that's what you need to do. Bilam takes that response, that yes, he saddles his donkey to go on his way, but then Hashem sends a little disaster along his journey. Hashem sends a sword-bearing angel to stop him, and somewhat comically even, only the donkey that Bilam is riding can see the angel. Bilam is repeatedly hitting the donkey until the donkey miraculously opens his mouth and speaks and rebukes Bilam for striking him. Bilam responds. He doesn't miss a beat. But finally, he sees the angel. The angel tells Bilam that he can continue, but must say only what Hashem allows. Bilam then arrives in Moab, where Balak reminds him of his obligation to curse Bnei Israel. Bilam explains yet again that he can only say what Hashem allows him to. He then opens his mouth, and instead of curses, he spews blessings on Bnei Israel. Enraged, Balak takes Bilam to another location, hoping that a different sight will inspire him, but the same process happens multiple times, resulting in some really beautiful brachot, including famously, Matovu Ohalecha Yaakov, Mishkanotecha Yisrael, how beautiful are your tents, Yaakov, your homes, and in really a stepping back in admiration of their camp. Now, it's a beautiful story, but I want to raise a major question, which is, why is it here? And maybe why is it even written down altogether? Because if you think about it, this story, the story of Bilam and Balak, is not a story that ends up impacting Bnei Israel at all. It takes place entirely outside the camp, and it's told from an outside perspective. Bnei Israel are the subject, but they're not actually even in the story. And fascinatingly, they may or may not even have known about it at the time. This is all happening without their knowledge. And just to highlight this point, the Gemara in Bava Basra, when it talks about the authorship of the different books of Tanakh, it talks about Moshe, and it says that Moshe wrote Sifro, his book, Iov, and then it says also Parshat Bilam. Why is Bilam, Parshat Bilam, separated out from the rest of Chamisha Chumshei Torah? Well, now we know. It's its own separate entity. Moshe's name actually is not mentioned in this parsha at all. And you can actually easily read Sefer Bamidbar and just pick up at the end of last week's parsha and continue on with the very end of this week's parsha, which is the story of Baal Peor, which we're going to address actually next week. So this story can easily be taken out and we wouldn't even know the difference. So I want to raise a few ideas here to try to answer this question and also hopefully shed light on this parsha and the book of Bamidbar as a whole. So the first thing I'd like to suggest is that this parsha is not only about Bnei Israel, but yet the themes are very much in line with the themes that we've seen thus far in Sefer Bamidbar. And one thing that we've spoken about was the interplay between two words that come up a lot, the word ra'ah, to see, and the word daber, to speak. And in Parshat Shlach, we discussed how the limited vision of Bnei Israel and the Meraglim ultimately led to their sins of speech. Their sins of sight, perspective, were articulated and leading to sins such as the fundamental sin of the spies. Now, these words are fundamental to this parsha as well. The parsha begins with Balak, the king of Moab, and the story begins with Vayar Balak ben Tzippor et kol asher asa Yisrael le'emori. Balak, the son of Tzippor, saw everything that Israel had done to the Emori. And he sees B'nai Israel from a certain very limited perspective. And it's that perspective about B'nai Israel that Balak sees, the way he views them, that leads to his decision to use words against B'nai Israel, specifically here, telling Bilam to curse them, to use the power of speech against them. In fact, the personality who's really gifted with clarity of vision here is the donkey. Three times in this story, the pasuk says, "Vatireh ha'aton et malach Hashem." The donkey sees the malach Hashem. And this highlights, it continually highlights Bilam's blindness. It's the donkey who can see, and only, but Bilam cannot. And this sight that the donkey has, seeing Malach Hashem, leads to his speech. Ultimately, Vayivtach Hashem et pi ha'aton. God opens the eyes of the donkey. Because the donkey has sight, the donkey then is gifted with speech. Ultimately, Bilam's eyes are opened as well. Vayigal Hashem et enei Bilam vayart Malach Hashem. Hashem opened his eyes, and Bilam was able to see Malach Hashem, resulting in his reaction, which is Hayachol uchal daber meuma hadavar asher yasim elokim b'fi oto adaber. I cannot speak except for that which God puts in my mouth. So Bilam's sight, his vision, is what allows him to realize that he will only be able to speak that which God tells him to say. And I think that this expanded vision and the recognition that we see only in a limited way, it's our circumstances limit our perspective. It's a recognition that we don't see everything. So the story of Bilam tells us that we're missing pieces of the story. And that leads to a limited perspective. Sometimes, in fact, like Bilam, we might be blind to what's actually in front of us. So there's playing on these same themes that we've seen throughout sight and speech. There's almost a call to action here, I think for us as well, a humility in knowing that we're not always seeing everything, and a push for us to have a broader view that's not only informed by what we want to see, right? Bilam saw what he wanted to see, but also by what is actually there. There's a second thing that I think comes out from this story that tells us something very important about B'nai Israel. Even though they are not the active personalities in this story, we learn something about them from the story. And in order to highlight that, I want to touch on another literary parallel that comes up in this story. The story of Balak and his plan against the Jewish people is told in the Torah in a way that parallels the story of Paro and his plan 40 years earlier, actually not 40 years earlier, hundreds of years earlier, against the Jewish people. And I want to read actually these few psukim so that you can see how the language is so similar. So here's how the Parsha begins. Vayigar Moav mipnei ha'am ma'od ki ravhu. So Moav is afraid of B'nai Israel because they are many. He's Vayikatz Moav mipnei B'nai Israel, and Moav became disgusted from B'nai Israel. So both of these language, the Rav, mirrors what Paro was afraid of in B'nai Israel, that they were too many. And this word Vayakutsu, Vayikatz Moav was disgusted, also mirrors the language in Shmot, Vayakutsu B'nai Israel, the Egyptians were disgusted by B'nai Israel. Then this disgust and fear results in sending messengers to Bilam. And when the messengers come to Bilam, they describe the Jewish people as Hine Am Yatzami Mitzrayim, keeps referencing that this is a nation that left Mitzrayim. What are they like? Hine Kisat Ein Haaretz. They cover the whole land. This terminology is actually not usually used for humans. And it's used most prominently about Makat Arba, the plague of the locust, where the locust covered the entire land. So here we have another reference to the plagues that were in Egypt. The angel, the messengers continue, and they say, why are they afraid? Ki atsum hu mimeni. B'nai Israel are stronger than us. also words that Paro said about Bnei Israel. Hine am Bnei Israel rava atzumi many. They're greater and stronger than us. And they continue by saying, we won't kill them, but we'll instead try to circumvent. Kiadati et asher tivarach mivarach v'asher to'ar yu'ar. Because we know that whoever is blessed, right, whoever you bless, you Bilam bless, will be blessed, and whoever you curse will be cursed. And this, in this way, this is also very similar to Paro's type of plan. Paro doesn't want to cause an all-out attack against Bnei Israel, but instead, Paro tries to circumvent using words like "hava nitchak malo," let's outsmart them, or perhaps even the way that Rashi explains it, citing the Midrash, "hava nitchak malo," let's outsmart him, let's outsmart God. There's a circumventing of the usual way that the country may have reacted by a physical attack against the Jews, and there's a way of trickery almost, trying to plug in to conquer their spiritual protection. Now, this parallel is interesting, but why is it important? So I want to say two things about this parallel. First of all, in light of the events going on around us and all the rising anti-Semitism that we're very aware of, I don't know if I can say exactly that this is a comfort, but this idea that this has existed, you know, from the beginning of times, and it's something that's really there in every generation. And there's a sense that even though this is present now, it was present in the past, and we have lived through it. So I think there's something important to note there. But specifically here, the repetition of the words that were used in Paro's reaction to Bnei Israel, how they're used here again in Balak's reaction to Bnei Israel, highlights a theme that we're going to see now until the end of the book of Bamidbar, which is that the second generation will have mirror experiences to the first generation. Right? We've been talking about the first generation is the generation that lived through the slavery of Egypt, saw Yetziat Mitzrayim, but ultimately died out in the 40 years in the desert. Now we're in year 40, and we're talking about the second generation, the children of the people who left Egypt, the children of the slaves. And they, in this 40th year, experience many similar circumstances to that first generation, to their parents. But there's a really important difference, and we learn a lot from the differences. In the Egypt story, there's a lot of suffering. There's the slavery. But here, once again, we have a king who's fearful and dangerous, tries to circumvent the system to get a nation that is numerous and strong out of his way. But here, Bnei Israel are fully protected. In fact, they're so fully protected that they may not even have known that this existential threat existed, that Balak and Bilam were conspiring against them. This explains, I think, also why we constantly commemorate Yetziat Mitzrayim, our leaving Egypt, because we appreciate things when we experience them, or when we had a lack, or we had a suffering, and then our safety is maintained once again. I mean, the obvious example is COVID, which helped us appreciate so many things that we took for granted before, right? Kids now appreciate school because they saw how difficult it was not to have that kind of structure and in-person education. But on the other hand, in this story, the story where we never actually, the Jewish people in generation number two, year 40, never really experienced, right, Balak's plan against them, they were protected all through, it also highlights Hashem's exceeding kindness, that we were saved in this story from even feeling threatened. So in some ways, the circumstance is similar to Egypt, but yet in other ways, we never even had to feel all of that suffering. So I think the second call here is to appreciate Hashem's protection and to appreciate in so many ways that it's around us in ways that we feel, and it's around us also in ways that we may not even have realized. And a push, perhaps, thinking about this, to extend our gratitude. So even things that we haven't suffered for, but perhaps things that we often take for granted. Thank you for learning Parshat Balak with the OU Women's Initiative. I'm looking forward to learning with you next week.